He may look like an idiot and talk like an idiot, but don't let that fool you. He really is an idiot. Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Same Old Wombles. We're brought to you by some of us who were responsible for bringing you Yellow and Blue back in the day. We are non-affiliated and non-partisan. Happy Halloween with the Same Old Wombles. My name is Mark Lewis. Learn from the mistakes of others. You can never live long enough to make yourself and make them all yourself. Tonight's panel features Alex Folks, Matt Cooper, Noel Cooper, and Adam Proctor. On tonight's episode, we're doing a third season review and do an FA Cup preview ahead of the game at Weymouth. And just to mix things up, do you remember the first time? Some ex-Wimbledon players still playing in the Football League, which clubs they're playing for? That is this week's edition of Same Old Wombles, episode 11.
All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Okay, so basically you've introduced a more complicated version of the numbers game to really, really make me look like a complete idiot.
It's actually much, much easier. Yeah.
It's not the numbers game. He's moved away from the numbers game. He's moved away from inventing numbers and just coming up with an answer for it. And you're losing our USP.
All right, I'll go back to numbers next week. I'm just trying to mix it up, gentlemen, that's all. So we played 16 games. And in the last week, since we were all concerned about the world as a Wimbledon fan, we've won two games and drawn the other one and frankly should have won the Crewe game, I thought.
Yeah, we won two games. I saw a home win. It was a classic game. It was one which I thought we were going to lose. We went behind. It was all terrible. It was all woe and gloom. And suddenly we came back and we scored two goals right at the end. And one of them was actually quite good. Proper old school Wimbledon. I know that's what they all say. But proper old school Wimbledon. Long ball, brilliantly controlled by Davison. And tucked home very nicely, which made up for the first four goals, which were all dreadful defensive mistakes. I'm really happy. We should have won the other game, but at the end of the day, it looks like we're on an upward trajectory. I still think that we have a weak bench. I still think that there are some players who are underperforming. But having said we had a weak bench, Alfie Bendall came on and produced some fantastic balls into the middle and really looks like he should be part of the club going forward. So I'm really happy. It's time to be a happy Womble.
And not only did he come on with a little cameo, but apparently Alfie Bendall passed his driving test on Friday. So good for him.
Yeah, neither things are easy to do. Win at Wimbledon or pass your driving test. No, I mean, I didn't see the game, unfortunately, because I had a prior arrangement. So I was a little bit annoyed at the fact that it was such a... It's one of those games that I would have loved to be at where it's kind of, you know, it goes one way and then suddenly the other. And of course, you get the final goal.
We were really bad second half. I mean, like, you know, first half, I thought we actually played really well. I thought we, first 20 minutes, we were moving the ball around. We were pushing fast. We were like really quick. It felt like there was gaps. We were exploiting it. We looked lively. And then the second half was really poor. But the one thing I think that we're seeing a bit from JJ is the ability to change and go for different formations. The guy's clearly still learning, but, you know, that helps. And as I said before, Zanef, confidence goalkeeper, made some bloody good saves. But it's a confidence thing, I think. You know, once he kind of believes in himself, that can happen. If we can get more of our players believing in themselves, then that's where it is. My actual thought was that we had players on the pitch after the first 20 minutes that thought this game was easy. And I thought they actually started slowing down and thinking this team's just there for the taking, because they really were. We should have been way ahead at that point. And I think they just lost their momentum completely and really struggled to get it back. What we needed to have done was just keep up that momentum and really push for it, because we were totally dominant for that first 20 minutes. And we didn't do it. So there were little bits there. I think the other thing is that was a bit of spirit we hadn't seen for a long time. And as you all know, I'm a champion of the big, long hoof up into the air. And my God, did that pay off on Saturday. So, you know, we've had a lot of tippy-tappy football for a long time. And now in Davison, I've got a player that I absolutely really love the looks of. And he reminds me a bit of a bit of the old John Fashanu, but also a bit of Danny Kebrell for those more recent. You know, the guy works his socks off, and great old-fashioned thing. I liked it. I liked that. There was good signs there. Sorry, Mark.
I decided, foolishly or otherwise, to sell a few programmes after the game. So basically, I got myself stuck just by the fan zone, just by the outside of the Phoenix, which meant that I was literally right next to the man of the match thing, and Davison won man of the match, understandably. He's just a very straightforward, down-to-earth bloke. I mean, I know it's easy when you have the momentum and the fans on your side after you've won a game like that, 3-2, and you've scored the winner. But he was really humble and unassuming and making time for everybody, all the fans, all the sponsors, all the children, people who've been there for the first time, and people who've made their, you know, like a pilgrimage to Plough Lane. There were still a few of them at the Saturday's game. Just really, really positive to say. In that respect, I'd say much more Cadwell than Fashanu, so to speak.
If I can be a little bit negative, I mentioned that I thought the bench was quite weak. Bendel, healthy trialist, accepted. But I'm still not sure what skill Kyle Hudlin brings to the team. He's 6 foot stupidly tall, but he didn't appear to be winning the headers in the way that Davison was. And I think the opposition's will soon work him out, that he isn't actually that good on the ball, and therefore they don't have to put two players on him and watch him because he's that tall and that threatening. The other one, I thought, even though he scored a goal, was Courtney Senior. I mean, his corner, one of the corners he took, was absolutely shocking. Now, it's unfair to judge a player on 10, 15 minutes or whatever, but that's all he got. But I'm not convinced that we have the squad in depth. And you look at the injury list and it's still horrendous, even though Woody's back, even though Marsh is just about back. It is really bad. So I'm thinking that if we are going to be able to maintain a run and see out games, we're going to need to improve the squad a little bit more in January. I'm glad that this group is coming together, but it doesn't have the 18 players that you really need for a Saturday. It's got 11, 12, 13 players who are worthwhile. And that's not quite going to be enough.
100% right. The other problem is that those 11, 12, 13 players are not always in the right appropriate positions. To me, it was crying out on Saturday for some kind of incisive midfield player. You could see why, allegedly, he wanted to get hold of Forster-Kaski, because the defence was looking at the midfield and nobody in the midfield seemed to be prepared to run with the ball forwards. Pell didn't seem to know where he wanted to play, so I couldn't understand. My teenagers that stick with me are quite cynical because they're teenagers, but it got to a kind of, what is Pell going to do wrong next kind of running joke between the three of us, which is not really positive about your own team. And in the end, he looked much more comfortable with the last 10 minutes when was just told to sit there and let Bendel spray the ball away.
I didn't see the game, but I'm a fan of Senior in terms of what I think he can do. But obviously, I didn't watch the game, and it sounds like he was not as impactful as I initially suspected. Also, there's a Wimbledon vlog, which I don't know how long it's been running, that I managed to catch because I was watching the ITV highlights and I couldn't work out how Senior's goal functioned. I was looking at his feet and I was slowing it down. I was like, I don't understand how he's lobbed the keeper. And of course, it turns out when you see it from another angle, he didn't lob the keeper. One of their players basically hit the ball and it bounced off Senior's leg and lobbed the keeper. So that's a nice goal for him to have, and congratulations. But I at first I thought it was some magic, like sort of double foot thing that he'd done. But obviously it wasn't. It was a deflection. But there we go. So, but I mean, I haven't seen him play enough. You guys have actually now seen him more minutes than me, even jumping on iFollow and whatever. But I think from what I understand, he could be a really impactful player. But perhaps, again, it's just fitting into the squad and working those things out and making sure, you know. But at least he had enough time. I'm pleased that he was on for a period of time rather than a two-minute appearance as a sub, because that drives me mad.
So the issue I think a lot of us have, and we know the reason for this, as Alex has highlighted, is we're not making enough subs. But the reason we're not making enough subs is because really Jackson doesn't seem to have the confidence in the players he has on the bench, and the players he has on the bench are the only ones he has available. Partially because of the injuries, but partially because the squad is paper thin overall.
He looks at it, Mark, and he goes, he doesn't realize, he doesn't know who he can put on, who's going to make an improvement, who's going to actually change it up. That I think is a really difficult thing. So he looks at it and he goes, I've got this, because ideally you'd want to give Josh a rest, or you'd want to, you know, do something, give a salaries, but you're going, who can I bring on who's actually going to, you know, change it up? And those are positions that you'd want to change it up. So he's looking at the bench, he's going, who have I got on that's going to make improvements? But personally for me, I just winning is just, it just changes things, doesn't it? And yet there's always people who like to have a mug. It's just like, you can't, you're damned if you win and you're damned if you lose. It's just really frustrating, but great to win. And great to do the old Wimbledon thing of being down and out with 4 minutes to go and then winning. That was fantastic.
No, and I think that is the thing. That is the thing. We want to be positive, and we have won another game. And I guess what we want to see that being a turning point. That's probably the position we're at. We're like, is this now the turning point where the team are starting to gel? They're starting to bring together a particular play that will work and allow them to grind out games and get the points required. So yeah, I think you need a little bit of time to see that that's happening.
So I look at it and go, right, where we need to get to is a place where we were a while back when we had those four great forwards, and we had Lewis, Taylor, Elliot, Aziz. Can't remember who else. Zach and Fenwell at the same time, whatever. We have four brilliant players that you could just, like, you know, you take two off and you bring two on, and they'd be like two brilliant choices. I mean, the one thing I suppose we ought to remember is we are missing NYC. And, you know, what would NYC look like with Davidson? And then you had Asau actually playing as a winger on that. You know, that becomes a very exciting team in that. You know, and you could, that's, you know, kind of really interesting. Having some backup for, I like Woodyard and Pell. I like the fact that you've got two solid people in there. I don't think Mark and the Lewis family were a bit more derogatory of Pell than I was. But I think that feels solid, which I don't think we have for a long time. And it feels like we've got a bit of robustness in our centre midfield, which we really needed. So there's hope there. I just want us to be able to play a full 90 minutes of properly good football. And we haven't done that for a long time. We've shown bits and bobs. And, you know, that's where we need to get to. It's worthwhile pointing out that the Harrogate manager did say that he thought that was one of his best performances he'd seen his team play. So, you know, and probably that second half, but we weren't there at second half, I don't think. I think we need to put it up a bit.
Yeah, our defending was pretty shocking for both of those set pieces. So here's throwing something out there. The first couple of games of the season, that Gillingham result, it all worked out well, poorly away as well. A lot of us were very complimentary about Paris and how silky he looked, and he's gliding through the midfield like a Rolls Royce and so on. Did we actually pump his tyres a bit too much? Because the last couple of games, no, more than the last couple of games, the last month, frankly, he doesn't look like a player who understands, to me, I've never been a professional sports person, so what do I know? But if you slow things down on any of the goals we've conceded, especially those two at the weekend, he's just letting whoever the midfield player is, who doesn't care that he's a 18, 19-year-old playboy from Brentford, he's letting his man go every single time, which means people are trying to compensate for him. And time again, either the man that Parrish should tackle scores the goal or sets up the goal or is available to do something productive for them. So in Parrish and possibly also in Chislett, I'm questioning, do we have two players there that at the moment walk in the team because there's no real competition, but actually don't really deserve to?
I agree. I think it's a difficult position to play, that holding midfielder, that creative midfielder. He's had some good games. He's had some moments where he's had lapses. I don't think you can put it all down to him. I think there's a collective failure about the defensive mindset from time to time. But yeah, he's somebody who's learning, and that's why he's come to us. I think he needs to have a couple of good games because he's been on a downward spiral. But, you know, I think we've seen some good points. So we're not castigating him and just saying he's useless, because he can play better. But I just think he needs to, or he's going to lose his place to Bendel.
I mean, I think where we're at with him, it goes back to we just haven't had a fit enough squad to be able to rest the likes of some of the people that we need to rest. And I think Parrish could probably do with having a bit of a rest. You know, he's his first proper season in men's football, and it's going to be like a totally different experience for him. And he could probably do with just having a little bit of a breath and coming back and being more, alive again. But we don't have the depth at the moment, really, to do that. And that's the issue that we've got. So until we get those players back fit, then, you know, we're going to struggle for a little bit in that sense. Again, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of, we're going to like Pell, we like Woodyard, I like Chiz has actually obviously found his level, and he's actually quite good as a League Two footballer. Sal, Bindle, that's not a bad midfield. And, you know, when we get a fully fit forward line, that's not bad either. I'm still going to question our centre-backs and our defence. I think that's
where we're light. I think we're light in defence. And I agree. I think the thing is, you know, ideally, JJ doesn't want to be playing all of these young people all the time. He needs to give people a bit of a rest. That's what needs to happen. So we need to strengthen him in Jan, if we possibly can. That would be fantastic, and put a bit more competition in there. I don't know how far away is NYC from being fit. Do we know? 2-3 fingers. Thanks, Mark. So that's great. And also, I just like to say, Mark, I'm
3 weeks.
I always love the fact you throw something in. I've never heard the phrase "pump up his tires" before. That's brilliant. So, you know, well done for that, putting that in there.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I'm a big fan of Parrish, and I still am. But I agree with what Niall was saying. We haven't got the depth, so unfortunately, these guys are playing more games than they should in different ways. And also, I think that he's an attacking midfielder, and our defence is not that great. So when he needs to become a defensive midfielder, he is struggling. And then that comes with experience and comes with figuring things out. And so, again, I do think the formation, the depth, isn't doing us any favours. But if we can grind out wins and get to the January window and figure out how to create a little bit of depth behind our players, that will turn our season around.
The table's an interesting one for me. So we've got the Heady Heights of 15th, and most of the people below us we've beaten, except for Crewe, 16th, who we drew with, and Sutton, who beat us, and a couple we haven't played. But we've let in 24 goals, and only Crawley and Hartlepool in the whole division have let in more. But we've scored 20, and Grimsby are 13th. Tranmere are 11th, Salford are 8th, and they've all scored less than we have, fewer than we have. So clearly that's where the issues are. You know, we let in two without being under a huge amount of pressure on Saturday. We let in three at Walsall for no particular reason, as far as we could see. And obviously Mansfield was a disaster. I don't remember when we last kept a clean sheet. If I did, then I can put it into the numbers game for next week.
Yeah. It was a shame because I think Will was on a run. I think Will Nightingale was on a run. I think he was becoming one of our better players when he got injured. I think he's a loss because I think he was, when he left, I think he was improving.
I totally agree. My worry, I guess, at this point is that we, in the January transfer window, if we go for too many, if we go to try and just shore up the defence and don't expand the general squad, that we could end up flipping the table where we kind of end up letting too many goals in and not scoring goals because we don't have players that can play for the full game. So I think I would say let's go for shoring up the midfield, the attack in that sense, and work with the defenders we got, you know, get Will Nightingale back, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I totally agree.
Accepting that Nightingale's out until after Christmas, NYC's out probably for another month. Really quickly running through the team, do we think now we have an understanding what the first choice 11 is? But like I said last week, we've never played it.
I haven't had an understanding about the team since the
1990s, mate. Oh, yeah, that's a fair point, Matt. It's a fair point. I just had somebody coming back through who just said, like, I can recall everything from the 1960s. He can name all the teams and said, like, 80s was getting a bit blurry and now it'd be, like, almost impossible. And I'm probably on a similar level, but, you know, I think we're not far off knowing what our best 11 could be. I think we still struggle to name our best back four.
Curry left back.
Are we now doing it, are we? Yeah, okay, right. Now, who's your centre-backs? Best two centre-backs?
Probably Pearce and Brown.
We're just going to take ages. Pearce and Tyler. Just trying to remember the name of players.
I think Tyler's in there. And then you go, right, well, who's better out of PK, Pearce, Nightingale? Who'd you fit in there? Do you play? Are we playing 4-4-2 or 3-5-2 or 5-3-2? I'm playing 4-4-2 myself, but, like, you know, I don't know.
I think what's been a really good thing recently is that JJ has shown that he's happy to change the style. He has a system he likes, but he's happy to change it around. And I think I think you've said earlier on he's adapting as a manager, which is brilliant. But I think let's get. You know, 7 points from a possible 9. You know, it's who knows where we go from here. And maybe we have to be happy if we finish around this sort of level by the end of the season, mid-table-ish. You know, obviously we'd love to be up for a push, but it's been tricky for us over the last couple of seasons.
What I'd like to know is who managed to sort Alfie Bendall out with an agent already, and how did his agent, after 1 5-minute cameo, manage to get a story in the Daily Mail about him supposedly being watched by a Premier League club?
Okay, there's a couple of things there. Who is reading the Daily Mail, and who knows anything that you're talking about?
Just for Mark's benefit, apart from the fact he's just owned up to being a mail reader, it was actually in other papers. I did see it as well, but, like, I didn't see it in the Mail, but I did see it other places. So there is an element of, I'm not going to say truth, that rumour is going around. And in these worlds, as a person who used to be a sports journo, it's so much agent talk that you go on and talk about all this sort of stuff. You know, it's like Bindle's clearly got talent. You know, and people will watch him. He's, from my view, he's a player that's in 2025, 2026 that will sell. Right now, you know, I mean, if he goes, we'd better have a bloody good sell-on clause.
Do we actually put him in the team now then? Because obviously a little cameo is great and obviously he can hit a dead ball. But notwithstanding what Niall said, I wouldn't leave Chislett in the team if there's a better alternative. obviously he's much better at dead balls and set pieces than Senior is. But you've got to put in a minimum 75-minute performance, let alone 90-minute performance. In the moment, I think Chislett walks in the team without anyone putting him under pressure. So if you could bring Bendel in, does that free us up maybe to push Magoma into a wider role? Magoma one side and Asau the other side?
I'm sure I saw somewhere that they were talking about putting Bendel out on loan. Just getting him a season of or half season of men's football in the conference, I guess, or Conference South. Maybe that's the best move for him rather than sitting on the bench. But it'd be great to bring someone else in who can challenge in that spot. But Chislett's been playing great.
This is a bit where I get with and like loaning players out to Conference South or Conference clubs. I get the reason for loaning it, I get that, but sometimes you want that little bit of talent, a little bit of unknown on our bench. So some of the good quality players, this goes with the Zach Johnson, doesn't it? Should we have Zach on our bench? We all know he's doing all right at Dundee. Or not. And I find that's always a little bit of a hard because you kind of know they need the time, but then equally sometimes we need to have those players that are like putting that hard yards in on our bench. So I don't know whether I really would want Bindle to be out on loan. So I think he's right on the edge of the team. You know, he's the sort of person you can imagine getting a run of 6 or 7 games at the end of the season.
What I was going to say in terms of the bench and who should be on the bench, this goes back to my fundamental issue that I have, is that people who are on the bench play for next to no minutes. And so they don't get any experience. And so if we've got players that need experience, I think they have to go out on loan because they're not going to get it from being on the bench.
That's what the Papa John's trophy is for. You know, we've got another game coming up.
Well, that's true, but that's like peanut games, isn't it? Like, how many games do we play of that?
No, I get you. But I would like to see our players coming off the bench and playing a bit more. I'd like to see a stronger bench in general. I'd like to see Lionel Messi playing for us, but you know, some things we just can't afford. So I think we make the most of what we've got. I remember during the Sutton game and everybody was saying, bring on some subs. But the problem was that all of the team looked to be playing okay until suddenly all of the team were playing disastrously. So who would he bring off? Who would he bring on? Would that really made a difference? I think that he needs to have more confidence in the bench, that's certain. He might get that by seeing some of these players playing against Portsmouth. I don't know, but I think it all comes down to a bit of strengthening in January and getting some of these injuries back in the team.
Yeah, Alex is right. I don't know what specific 11 will be played against Portsmouth. But you'd like to think the Senior should start, so I can have a rest. Please put Davison in a cold freezer just to chill him out for a while, just for a couple of days this week, so that otherwise you run him into the ground, and then if he gets an injury, we're in a really bad place. Stick Huddling on from the start, because the comments from before were completely correct. I think he barely touched the ball, apart from laying a couple of balls off with his feet. I don't remember him getting any headers at all. But the reality was, we looked up towards the box and saw two players that we could aim for as target men. The defence were worried, the keeper was worried, the keeper made a mistake, and therefore we got that break and got the equaliser out of nothing in a game we looked like we're going to lose. So give Huddling as long as possible, give Senior as long as possible, give Bendel a start, put him either with Woodyard or with Pell to actually let him to settle into the game. We've qualified already, so we've got at least the Portsmouth game and one more in the Pizza Trophy at some point, whenever that knockout game will be. And then play someone like Gunter. It doesn't really matter whether we play Gunter because he's going to the World Cup anyway. Ogundore is therefore going to have to probably come in a right back for 3 or 4 games towards the end of November and December because we haven't got anyone else to play in that position. That seemed to make sense to me. But first, we have an FA Cup game. And who's excited about the FA Cup?
Well, I would be excited if I could actually get there. annoyingly.
Which is ironic because you live closer than anybody else.
Yeah, I probably would have gone because I know people in Bournemouth and Poole. But without trains, it's a bit of a pain, to be honest, to even drive. So I'm not going to go. I'm a little bit annoyed about that because it would have been quite fun to be there. The train striking should probably happen, so that's fine, whatever.
I, of course, absolutely hate these sort of games because it's just like we have no... I mean, like, considering where we are as a fan base, unless we win 97-0, there's going to be issues, right? And I'm kind of like just dreading it. It's one of those games where you just kind of go, couldn't it just be over? Because if we lose, then that's awful. If we draw, then there's a replay, which we probably could do without. And if we win, we can only be happy if we win convincingly. So it's like, it's horrible. It's those sort of games that are horrible. You know, you kind of want to wait until the later rounds. If we just get through these ones and then, you know, have the shoe on the other foot or whatever it is.
Literally one game at a time. Problem is, you look at the league record of Weymouth, and you think, this is an absolute banana skin. They played 14 in the league, won 1, drawn 2, lost 11, scored 10 goals, conceded 32 goals. And to strengthen their team, most recently, they've lost 4 out of the last 5 in the league. To strengthen their team, they brought in the man that Alex and I had a quick beer with at the beginning of last season at the kit sponsors dinner. Mr. Zeki, the rather midget-sized goalkeeper that was our second-choice keeper last year.
He's the keeper, is he? I'd just be going there, and whenever Zach had a goal kick, I'd be shouting, shoot. It's, you know, I've heard he's done well. Just because Zach can kick it high, Alex.
It's just... I was more commenting on you calling him Zach.
Is that his name? Zaki? What's his name?
Oh, him.
Doesn't he play for Bindle?
I thought you meant our keeper. Okay.
No. So it's it's a banana skin. It's and the fact that they're doing so badly, it feels like they've geared themselves up for this one game. You know, like everyone just raises their game for this. So it's going to be packed down there with their fans. And we've got a good deal now, haven't we? A coach and a ticket for like £25. But, you know, you still have to get to the station. Are you going, Mark?
I'd love to, but I've actually got tickets to see Kaiser Chiefs at the O2, so I wouldn't make it back in time. Things you actually plan 6 months in advance and they clash with football. You know, football and life clashing, what's the world coming to?
But a big thumbs up to the club, though, because the coach travel for a tenner and various deals for kids as well. Kids can go free if they're going with a paying adult and all that sort of thing. The tickets, I don't know how much Weymouth usually charge. £15 isn't too much. So that's a really good deal. And I appreciate it doesn't work for everybody. I appreciate it doesn't work for Adam in particular. But for those of us in Southwest London, £25 for a day out and going to watch the football is a really good deal. So full marks to the club for doing that. Totally. The last time I checked, there were fewer than 25 coach spaces left. So hopefully we're taking as many as we can. I'm not sure whether it'll be the full 1,800 that we're allowed, but, you know, what more could the club do on this? I think they are doing the right thing, and I hope that the fans reward them for it.
And if there's anything over 500, to be honest, Alex, if anything over 500, I think would be a brilliant attendance down there. So it's great. And you're right. Big fans up to the club. I think they've played this one excellently.
And presumably we just treat it like a normal game, like a normal league game, and field as strong a lineup as we have available.
Yeah, don't be tempted to do something silly. We've got the silly cup tomorrow, Tuesday. So
And I was also going to say, we don't have like 50 players in our squad. So
what choice do we have?
Although it'd be very funny to watch Carl Hudlin take on Zaki in goal, just because they are so mismatched. But yeah, I think you've got to aim for a cup run. You've got to aim for getting through to the next round. And that means putting the strongest team we have available out there. and for a moment forgetting about the Orient game. Let's, as the saying goes, let's be in the bag for the next round.
No, I was also going to say the thing with that that I think is really important for us to remember is that there is money in the rounds. I don't know how much money is in this round, but we do need to play at least as best we can to maximise revenue from a cup run. Why not? Because we're not doing fantastic in the league. We might as well do the best we can in terms of just getting some additional income and also providing additional income for that, for Weymouth, you know, because the more of us that go there, the more fantastic it is for them.
I agree. Adam, that's the thing. We need, you know, let's have a bit of excitement. If we can get to a cup, if we can get to the third round, play whoever it is away, and then, you know, use that money in the transfer window. That's the answer, isn't it?
To answer Adam's question, first round proper wins £41,000. Second round proper wins £67,000. Third round wins £105,000. Which, you know, obviously it's going up bit by bit. And the TV money is obviously the big thing that will actually help all of us.
Totally.
So are we feeling confident about that now? I mean, I was looking at Weymouth's results. In the FA Cup, they've beaten, they're about the only teams they've beaten. They beat Winchester City 3-1. They beat Welling United 3-0. And they beat Havant and Waterlooville 2-1. And they're playing in the Conference South with the likes of Dartford, who they lost to at the weekend, Slough Town, Dover Athletic, Bath City, Eastbourne Borough. And yeah, they're letting in a considerable number of goals in every game. Our friend Zeki, the keeper, has only been there for about 3 weeks. But even since he's been there, they lost, well, they beat Slough 3-2. They lost 1-0 at Wellingborough, and they lost 3-1 Saturday, as I say, to Dartford. So we shouldn't have anything to fear, apart from probably a miserable day and an awful pitch. But everyone's obviously nonplussed by the FA Cup completely.
Mate, exciting. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's a banana skin. All we want to do is get through it, move on to the next thing. It's not a lack of excitement, Mark. It's just like, it's just dread.
It is dread. It is dread. I totally agree with Matt. It's dread. It's like, can we just get through this one, please? Yeah. That's basically where I'm at.
It is one game at a time, but I think I do think the FA Cup is fantastic. As much as TV and shifting stuff around has messed it about, I think it's a fantastic competition. So, yeah, I'm hoping that we can progress at this level, but it's great for the clubs who are at different levels to engage with the fantasticness that is the FA Cup.
I can have a whole go about what I think is wrong with the FA Cup at the moment, you know, because it should be, in my mind, the winner should get a Champions League spot. You should be, because it's just like the top end of the pyramid has kind of taken it a bit for granted. And you know, this is what actually the magic of football is in this country. You know, I used to love watching the FA Cup final, right? You'd start watching it at 10 o'clock in the morning. There'd be all the build up. They'd have like cameras on the coach. You'd be following them all. You know, there wasn't that many channels. You just watch it all the time. There'd be all the kind of, they're making their stupid songs, all the rest of it. It was just like a whole day. You'd gather around with your mates, you watch the FA Cup final. It was like a real occasion. And, you know, that magic, you know, we just need to, that I think they should really look to rekindle that. It's just a bit of the greed of the game at the top end that's just a bit of a disappointment. For us and for the small clubs, it's really important. It's really magical. We just need to, like, you know, the greed in the game, and there is another whole
board. I blame Man United. Man United, that was when they would, when they were allowed to buy out of it, that was the big thing. I will never forgive them. Have we pumped up the tyres enough on the FA Cup, Mark? I don't know if we've pumped up those tyres enough.
I can't believe you've never heard that expression before. Far better from Niall to complain about the greed at the top of the game. Anyone would think he was involved in some national association or something. Anyway, moving swiftly along, briefly, I think, this week, because we can talk about it much more in much more depth in the next 2 or 3 weeks or so, and I believe there will be hustings. This has been announced today, but what the Don's Trust did announce online over the weekend is that with the nominations for the new elections, nominations ran out 23:59 Saturday night, and they had got enough candidates. And now I believe, and this is probably online, certainly by the time this pod goes live, it will be online. There are a total of 13 different individual candidates.
It's online now, Mark.
It's online now. Good news. Okay.
We've got all the names.
So we don't need to mention any of the names because they're all online. Everyone knows them.
I'm looking for it now. I just think the one thing that feels upsetting is there's no women on that list. And that, so I, am I right in saying, Nye, is there any women on the board at the moment? Are there any women? There are one. No women.
There'll be one left.
Just Michelle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Michelle will be the only one left, yeah.
I mean, I think what's interesting on that, before we go any further, is that the Don's Trust, you have these four new groups that are set up. And I am the chair of the community group. And one of the things we said, because we were a bit worried about that, to be honest, one of the things that we said that was really important for us to grow as a club is to try and strive to become the number one female-friendly football club in London, if not England, for men's football. And I think that shows exactly how much of a problem we've got to face and to develop to make sure that actually women feel really comfortable to come to the match, to feel like it's something that's really welcoming, and to feel comfortable to be standing for the board. And I realise my experience is probably put off a couple of people. And I think we need to look at making that environment and change it and make some kind of really quite dramatic changes, because actually women in Merton and in Wandsworth make up 52% of the population. You know, we're, do you look around the ground? Are we 52% women at our ground? No. Our board is going to have 10% is going to be women. And we're missing a big, big trick there. And, you know, there are lots of things we should be doing, and we should be making it a much more welcoming environment. And I think we missed that. We missed that whole kind of like bit of closed-mindedness that we need to kind of reach out to that. And, you know, that's what I was trying to do in that community group. And I think we'll try and do that. And there's some good people on those groups. And I think those working groups are the bits where we can really look to change and do that. Having said all that, there are, of course, two fantastically brilliant candidates on today's pod who are obviously wonderful people that need to, you know, that hopefully they'll do well in the elections and all the rest of it.
I don't think Alex and me put our names in, though.
That's true, yeah. Sorry. And then, of course, Alex and Matt decided not to stand at the last minute, and we're left with Mark and Adam, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But, appreciate your help, boys. Great support.
I mean, I'm gonna jump in on this because I have a lot of experience in terms of diversity, particularly with women in technology and particularly with women in games, and so I've been fortunate enough to field a leading games course that has looked to increase diversity in an area where there is not enough women represented in the games industry. And so I've been very lucky, you know, I've been fortunate to have lots of students who've come, and we've actually diversified the games industry. But I know that because my students who identify as women have gone on to work in the industry. And so as much as I am disappointed quite clearly by the list of being obviously a list looks like a bunch of men, that we can, whether we, you know, whether I or others get on for a year, 2 years, there is the potential for us to stand and support the need for diversity in football in that sense. And there's lots of ways you can do that. And I hope that all of the people that are standing can think about how they can project to be the other and to think about the other in the positioning. And I know in my manifesto, I've hopefully tried to suggest and encourage that. And as much as it is disappointing, and I think it really is, it doesn't mean we can't do something over the next year, 2 years to continue to address that. So, yeah, I'm just going to say there is opportunities for those of us who identify as white males to actually be advocates and leaders in a space for other people for now, you know, and to make sure that's correct, because I've done it and I continue to try and do it in lots of different ways, and hopefully I can step back and allow other people who don't look like me to step into the position. But looking at the names, I don't think I'm going anywhere anyway, so that's fine.
Right, but you know what? Whoever gets elected, and there's some good names on there, and I know a number of people around the club, so I know some of these names. Three things I'd say that are positive here. I think you've got two different members, two different individuals who have previously been on the board and are standing again or standing to come back onto the board potentially. You've got some people who've got experience from Wizzr going back in the day as well, which is really positive. You've also got some people, and Adam is one, who stood in the election either last year or the year before. So you would like to think that they've learned, they've understood more about the processes and more about what's expected of them and what's needed as a Don't Trust candidate, and therefore they will be able to contribute. But hopefully, most importantly, as there are as many names as there are, which means that out of those 13, only 7 can get on and 6, unfortunately, will be disappointed. I'd like to hope, and I'll say this publicly now myself, if I'm one of those 6, fair enough, good luck to everyone else who gets on. But if I am one of those 6 that doesn't get on, I want to be able to contribute. I want to be able to still do something, whatever that may be, on a working group or in some way, shape or form that helps or somehow generally contributes to the greater good, because that's why I'm standing in the first place, you know, rather than getting on a soapbox, so to speak, and ranting about my whatever I ranted about, because my manifesto will be online and hopefully it'll be straightforward and clear enough what I stand for and what I believe in and so on. But even if I'm not successful, as I say, I'd like to be able to still be able to contribute overall, and hopefully the other 5 people or whoever they are, though unsuccessful, will be able to contribute as well, and then bring other people on board. And if there are potentially some ladies who, for whatever reason, didn't want to put themselves forward but can contribute, have got specialist skills and so on, then it would be great to have their contributions in some way, shape or form, even if it is behind the scenes without people necessarily knowing who they are individually, because they've obviously got experience and knowledge and know-how and expertise that the Don's Trust and the fans and the club can support and benefit from.
Just Niall. Picking up on that, Mark, this is where the working groups are new and are really important, because it is a lot of work being on the board, but the working groups hopefully will share that burden and bring in that enthusiasm and that passion and channel it in the right way. You know, at the moment on the community group, we've got, we're asking people with various different experiences to come forward and step and to be on that, on the working group. We've asked people to apply for certain kind of representative bits of it. And that's, I think, where it's really important that we do that. So we can't lose those really hardworking people. Look, I've been battered and I've been really worn down by it all. I still want to do that sort of stuff in the background. Personally, at the moment, I just think I need to take a big, deep breath and not have my head above the parapet, because it's been hacked away quite a lot and it's been painful. But there's still stuff that we can do. People like me should be, you know, I want to put my arm around a whole load of people and just say, look, there's opportunities to do things behind the scenes, less publicly, that will make a big difference to this club. And those are the kind of skill sets, and that's the kind of drive we need to get all those people back together and get that fans power that is right in the middle and the heart of this club enthralled and engaged again. And I think what's good is the number of candidates that stepped forward in what has been quite a pause in this couple of weeks. And, you know, I think there are some really good names on there, and, you know, it's about making sure those people that win and go forward have all that passion, and those people that don't make it, feel there's still a place for them to use their energy and their skills. And I mean the energy to really drive the club further on, because my God, do we need it?
But it's exciting. It's a really exciting list. And there are some really great names in there. I'm delighted Mark and Adam are standing. I think that's brilliant. And there are some really good people on there. So, a few people I've not heard of before, so I'm excited to see their manifestos. And they've been published. They're published on Tuesday, I think. So that'll be great to see to read through those and really have a look.
And we will pick that up at a later date. I'm going to wrap it up now, most importantly, because Alex has clearly been called away by his dinner. So this week's end of season, end of pod quiz is not about numbers, it's about names. In honour of Pulp, who are reforming, and that wonderful 90s band that those of us... Well, who knows? Anyway, they're playing live next summer, so I'd like to get involved.
It was very, very dormant, Adam, for a very long, long time. Currently, though, I'm with Mark. I'm dwelling on which gig to go to. They're playing Finsbury Park, they're playing at Latitude, and they're playing the Isle of Wight Festival. I'm probably leaning towards Latitude, but then that's where I'm going at the moment. That's my thing.
They don't need any more publicity anyway. Right, the publicity now is, do you remember the first band, time?
Wonderful album, Jarvis Cocker legend. I always think Blur, Oasis were, everybody used to go, what's your favourite band? And I'd go Pulp.
Pulp. End of. Moving swiftly along. So the quiz today is about, based on myself watching the highlights of the weekend and my teenagers pointing out how many ex-Wimbledon players there are playing for other league clubs and therefore how many they recognised. They just couldn't remember what clubs they played for. So I'm going to give you a club and you have to name who are the current players playing for them that used to play in the last two or three seasons. So it's fairly recent for AFC Wimbledon. Let's start with Matt. Matt's club is Northampton.
Before you go here, right? This is just the cruelest thing ever. We've said many a time on this pod, if you were to name where are our players from the 1980s, I'd say, yeah, he's an accountant in Chippingham or something, or whatever. He's now like deputy scout of such and such. You're asking me to name players from last season or the season before that.
No. I literally have no problem with this. Northampton, did you say, Mark?
Northampton.
Matt. Boom! Pinnock. Matt. That's it. Correct. I'm out of here, man.
Pinnock, correct. You see, he's got one.
Matt.
That is it. I don't know what anyone's complaining about. It's brilliant, this game.
I'll tell you what he's done, right? I've bought my brother time. So my brother now owes me several beers, whatever, because I bought him time to do the Google search.
That is the one player I know.
Alex's question, very quickly, is Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, Ben Hennigan.
Correct. And one other.
I don't know. I'm going to have to pass on that.
Michael Smith. Okay. Adams is Newport County.
Pinnatone Spectrum, Pac-Man Commodores, and that's 81 Donkey Kong fucking high score. Push it to the limit, couldn't push it anymore. Wanna be a fucking robot after smoking loads of draw. What a speaking spell. Stuck it to my chest. I wrap some fucking tinfoil to my head and to my vest. Walking down the street, my next door neighbor's not impressed. I'm a robot, I'm buying 10 facts, is my quest. Eggs, he's gone too far, he thinks he's Robocop.
Oh, why are you even asking me? I don't know the 11 that are in our squad currently. I can just about name the guys I like. So, I like Newport. I like AFC Wimbledon.
You lived in Newport. Anybody else for Newport?
It's Minshew Hartigan.
Newport is Tom King. Tom King, the goalkeeper. And finally for Niall, Heart of Midlothian.
This is just stupid. It's a stupid quiz. Stupid thing. Why don't you just ask me, like, who's scout at Sunderland? Go on. Who's the main scout at Sunderland? And do that one. Go on. Heart of Midlothian.
Yeah. You told us that this player had been sold to this club and how much money the club earned for this as a selling clause.
Yeah, but that was when I had a memory. That lasted, like, a couple of bits. Heart of Midlothian.
It's about 4 months ago.
So I really should know this, shouldn't I? A lot. Massively so. Oh, Jesus. I was probably on the PLC board when they announced it as well, listening to that. As an observer, not a voting person, by the way. You just get to observe these things. Look, I haven't got Scooby. I will remember.
The answer is Toby Sibbett. All right. Just for all of you, I did a whole 11 of players who used to play for us who are now still playing in the Football League. Tom King at Newport, Ryan Jackson at Cheltenham, Shea Alexander at Gillingham, Ben Hennigan, Sheffield Wednesday, Toby Civic, Hearts, Jack Redoni, Huddersfield, Max Sanders, Lincoln, George Moncur, Orient, Mitch Pinnock and Danny Hilton at Northampton, and Michael Smith up front, Sheffield Wednesday. So there.
You've got a lot of time on your hands, Mark. I congratulate you.
Thank you very much. You're very kind. We've been the Same Old Wombles, episode 11. Find us on Spotify, on Apple, and anywhere else you like to find your podcast. Check out the donstrust.org for their online engagement, as well as the fans get together their planning in the Phoenix in the next 10 days or so. Comedy Dons for Portsmouth this week and away at Weymouth at the weekend. See you all soon.
Good luck to our wonderful candidates.